Okay, before we get to the Union of Devo in the next mission, there are a few loose ends to tie up here. First of all, this Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Mishnah has nothing to do with any of the topics we've discussed in this subject. Akiva Eiger, here's the kasha. In the Mishnah, she's saying the Shurastani Nenasi. She's saying, yes, the Erison, I was honest, and the Mela, I have a right to a full ksuba. The assumption is that the Mishnah is talking Sai Ben Eshes Yisrael, Sai Ben Eshes Kayish. So the question he asks is, by an Eshes Kayin, if she says Misharastani Nenasi, why does she believe this would violate the rule of Ein Adam Eisem Atmei Rasha? Because if it's true that after Erisin, she was Anus, somebody was Ma'anisar, she's not allowed to marry a Kayin. Because an Anusa is Asurla to a Kayin. So if an Anusa is also to a Kayin, it was Tachta, but it was after Erisin, so when she says Mishra is standing there now, see, we have a problem. You know the Mesa Matzmei Russian. She shouldn't be believed to say Mishra standing there now. It should only be true by Eishes Yisrael, not by Eishes Kayin. This is the Rabbi Akiva Eiger's kasha. And the answer touches on the Yisrael of Eina the Mesa Matzmei Russian, which I've discussed with you in the past and which I will discuss with you in the future, Mr. Hashem. So let's go back to Ein Adam Eisem Atzmei Rasha. Why? Why Ein Adam Eisem Atzmei Rasha? Whenever you see the words Ein Adam Eisem Atzmei Rasha, it has to come to mind to Mahalka. Why, if a person walks into bed and says he's a Rasha, why do we believe? So we have two reasons. Either because Adam Karavet Alatma, the person is considered a Karav to himself, that the Rashi says, all over Shas, wherever the Gemara says Ein Adam Eisem Atzmei Rasha, Rashi says, "Mishum the other karav eitz alatz." Right? So you're a karav can't say it. That's one reason. You know, that makes him ask me Rasha. The other pshat, which the Rambam, we called it the Rambam's pshat, was because of chashash mishaken. If a person says something about himself, you never know what's going on in why he's saying things about himself, and it's because of chashash mishaken, afraid he's lying.
Why would he say something?
There are people who do that. There are people who, you never know. Issues are very complex about people. There are people about themselves, they like to sometimes talk certain ways. If you keep your attention focused, you'll see that there are people that way. People like to talk about themselves certain ways. And the reason is because of the Shash Rishaka. Probably the main nafkamina between the two Mahalkim is the nafkamina that Rav Shlaina Eiger uses to answer Rav Akiva Eiger's kasha. And Rav Shlaina Eiger is actually going to work out that it's a strong raya, one of the two mahalkim. The main nafkamina between these two mahalkim is if a baldava could be mesem atzmei rasha. When you have a dimtaira in Beis Din, you have the Tiveya, the Nitzvah, they're the Bali Dover. They're the people who are cooked and they get the Dover, right? They're the one who says, you owe me money, the one who says, no. And then you have Aden. So the Gemara always says, you know, that makes the Matzvei Russia about Aden. What about witnesses? If they witness the sign, the Shtar, and now they come to bed and they say, it's true, we signed it, but we were bribed. So we don't believe in it, you know, that makes the Matzvei Russia. That's the typical case of Ein Adam Eisem Atzmei Rasha. It's the Eidus that are saying Eidus that make themselves Rishayim. So the Melo we say Ein Adam Eisem Atzmei Rasha, and we have two ways to understand why a person can't make himself a Rasha, either because we don't believe him or because he's a card. That's by Eidus. What about the Baldavar? If the Baldavar comes into bed, and he's today or something. He's to bear something. Let's say a man comes into bed. He says that Pliny owes me money, and here's a shtar. He shows a shtar which mentions ribbis in the shtar. This is the shtar, not the money, this is the shtar. So he says, it's tied in bed. Or should we say, Eino b'neitim afrei rasha, we don't believe you that it's true, because it was true, if the shtar says ribbis. What? He's saying that this is authentic shtar. I owe money to the shtar. So let's say he says, let's say somebody comes to bed. The payer's friend says, I'll lend him $100 at 12%. Now he owes me money. Let's say there is no shtar. It's just a pay him money. Now obviously, we're not. Someone comes to bed and he says, I lent him $100 for ribbis. The ribbis already adds up to another 50. So of course, we're not going, I'm not talking about the 50. The $50 of ribbis, of course, he can't pay. The question is, could he use his taina for the $100? Or do we say, you're making yourself a Russian? So, the truth is that in this particular case, there's a concept of pagina. You could split what he says. But the Yisayder, or Shlomo Eger says, is that the only person who can be Mason Master Russia is an Eger. A Baldavar could be Mason Master Russia. If the Baldavar, if he's the Tevea, he says something, even if he's making himself a Russia with his Tevea, then he's never. He could do that. So the example which he brings is this example. He brings from a Ramban's tshuva about a person who tiny will be Sani Beridus. A person who was a Din Tairo or a Mon Beridus, where they were making themselves Rishayim. And we know there's no Sarna, they know the next Master Rashi. Now this should be totally in the Tuma Halkin that we have. Does this make sense to say Inna Gemesa Matzmei Rasha is only true about an eight, but not about a Baldav? Let's see. Why Inna Gemesa Matzmei Rasha? If you say Kusadim Karavei Zalatzmei, that's only a Psul and Eidus. Karav is Psul and Eidus. Baldavar, he could talk about himself. Every Baldavar talks about himself. Not possible. He comes with a tiny bari. He says she was Pesach Suam and Sasi. He's a Karav to himself. But by the Baldavar, there's no Psul. Obviously, someone comes to Bezel with a tiny has a right to tiny about himself. The Baldavar is not a Psul Karav. Baldavar is always talking about himself. So if the Psul is because of Adam Karavet Alashmai, then it's only a din in Eidus, not a din in the Baldavar. If the psul is because we don't trust you to say things about yourself, then in Achidani, then even if you're a Baldavar, we can't trust you to say things about yourself. So if you make yourself a Rasha, so we can't trust you.
Why do we always say that? Whatever Baldavar says, we can't trust you.
Whenever Baldavar comes into bed, he says, you owe me $100. So we talk, I can't trust him. We can't trust him. That's why the bari is not enough to be made. We don't take what? That's why he needs a raya. That's why he needs some sort of raya. Baldavar needs some sort of raya. But the point is that when he makes himself a rasha, to believe him, that he's making himself a rasha, so we have the rule, Eino d'neitzei matzmei rasha. That's the fact that he's making himself a rasha for a reason. That is for a reason that's checking. So, well, of course, if he's saying, you know, he's to make it better for himself, then Pasha we don't trust him. Pasha, if someone's in bed and he says, you owe me $100, that itself is not a din of an aim. The question is, when he says something to his own detriment, he wants to say about himself that he's a Rasha, so maybe we should trust him. So we said we don't trust him.
Here he has a star. What? Here he has
a star.
So even though it doesn't have ribbons on the star,
in the ribbons case.
Yes,
the ribbons case. The ribbons case, we should believe him that he actually left money. Well, if he'll bring the Avis, the Avis will say it happened, we'll have Avis. Because now we don't have Avis. So we don't believe a person to say about himself that he left money for ribbons.
If he has a riot, then we do believe. It's like in any case, when he says something,
if we'll have a riot, the star itself is not a riot. If the Eidah Bar Shtar is in the time of the signature, there's nothing on it. Then you'll know it's not out here. Then you'll know. The question is, if he says, I lent money for Ribbis, so we're now going to say, okay, he's a Russian, now he's Buffalo Eidah. We're not going to say that.
Is it very often to say that
but then we have to go with the Hezbo that we had. That is the Kayach of the Tegayah Bez. That's why it doesn't work. If I'm today, you don't answer me. The reason I win is because you didn't answer. Because he said, I don't know, which is not an acceptable answer. That's why we need an explanation for it. It's not because he's Ne'echad, I believe. The Ne'echad is Zakhlev Shleimeger, in our Mishnah. She's the Baldava. She says that she's studying the Nasti. She says that the Torah is Baldava. She's saying it as the Teveya. She's coming to be Teveya Ksuba. So the Ne'echad is not started. They know that I'm not very Russian. So apparently he holds like the Mahalach that it solely is on the other carve last night. And therefore off Baldavar you can say. And when we get to the main sugya of Eidah the Mesa Masri Rasha on your test, we'll see that this is a Machlokes Achrayim. The Tshuva brings in the Chashmish for the Machlokes Achrayim, which we'll get back to. I'm just trying to mention it a few times so that I should remember it. I keep on mentioning it maybe I'll remember. The more we remind ourselves of this, the more. Okay, a second side, totally side issue of our Mishnah is an issue which I assume we're going to discuss again. And that is, when is this man ksuva? At what point does a man give his wife a ksuva? Nowadays, we do everything in the ksuva together under the chuppah, so you give a ksuva, there's no shame. In the times that they did Erisin a year before the Nisuin. At what point was the Ksuba given? By Erisin or by the Nisuin? Now, we always assume that it's Mishas Nisuin. That at the time that a man takes his wife into his home, by the Nisuin, that's when he writes the Ksuba. That's the normal assumption in Shas. This Mishnah is saying, and they say it's the Isha of the Matla Besuvan, he I meres Mishra Stani Nanasti. What's she say? Mishra Stani Nanasti that it was after Erisin that I was Nana. Now she's saying it was after the Suva was written. That's what she's saying. Pasha. It appears from our Mishnah that the Suva begins from Erisin. But she's saying, I got the Suva. And afterwards, Mishurastani, they're nasty, and it's your top, you lose. It was after the Suva was given. So our Mishnah appears to say that if the Erisin is when the Suva is given, if you look back on your days on the days, and the Tosfos read on the side of the page, it says Masnisin, you have to go down about another 11, 12 lines. There's like a half a bracket there, Mishasha Irsa. It looks like half a bracket. It's a printer's mistake. It should be nothing there. You see that Mishosha Irsa is Chayb Ksuvasa, the Tanai Bez. Mikan Muchach. The Tesvit says this is the Makar. Mikan Muchach, Shiesh Ksuva La Arusa, Mishosha Irsa is Chayb Ksuvasa. From the time he takes her with Erisin, he's Chayb Ksuvasa, the Tanai Bez. Mishohachi Karmalai Hachi. That's why she's saying. The Makaydim should never love him, he should love him. Actually, should never tell Lacey that she would have. You see, this Tosfos Rit says, Makam Mukha, kind of the only Makar. The Tosfos Rit holds that Ksuba starts from Erisin. Most Rishonim don't hold this, but the Rambam says the Feirish that Ksuba starts from the Suin. Ksuba starts from the Suin. True, if a person gives the Ksuba earlier, he can give himself earlier, he can do whatever he likes. But there's no obligation to give a ksuva until the suva.
And will she collect it and she divorces
her from the Erisin? That's a good question. How would the Rambam learn our Mishnah? Right. The Rambam learns that ksuva starts with the suva. Now, if ksuva starts with the suva, and what she's screaming, Mishra Erisani Nanasi, what she's saying, Mishra Erisani Nanasi, it could learn one of two ways. You could say our Mishnah is talking where he voluntarily gave a ksuba early to Erisin. Saichi. Or you have to be Mechadish in the Rambam, that if the Erisin, she's Nana, then even though he didn't give the Ksubi yet, from the Sabra Sadayu, which is Sablot, which is Basel, that was Gaius. She was Nansa. Even though he didn't give the Ksubi yet, he gave the Ksubi later, but it's not a time on her, because it happened after she was Nichnas Moshusai. So still, you could say Moshusai Nana. What? Now it's after the Ksubi. But she's saying, I want 200. Because Mishra Stani Nanasi, because I was Nanasi at the Eretz. And he's saying, what do you mean? That was before the Ksuba. I only want to give you 100 because that was before the Ksuba. So she could still say, Mishra Sadeu, it's your fault. That's our fault. We learned the minhag of Yehuda, the Yomid Aleph, Ha'ich Aleich Kacham of Yehuda. Like the Eidim, we said that they were Baal in Yehuda after Erisin before Nisuin. So to solve the problem, so they used to do Berchus Basanim early. So we already learned that they did Berchus Basanim early. So in the middle, these Baal are, it's not so bad. That's what we learned on Yudei Bamed Aleph and earlier in the parable. There, I mentioned to you the Chazon Ish's Kasha, that he's still Iver on being Baal har without a Ksuba. Lamaisa, if he's Baal Har before the Chasana, before the Chuppah, he's still Baal Har but without a Ksuba. The Chazon Ish said, he's saying that even though Taki, Zayver, and the Aveira are being Baal without a Ksuba, but Hayais, they had the problem with the headmind, they had all these kinds of problems, it was Kedat. That's what Chazon Ish said. Now Chazon Ish only has to say this according to the Rambam Shita. Obviously, according to the Taisus Rid, the kasha doesn't begin. Because according to the Taisus Rid, if the Erisin, you do give a ksuba. So according to the Taisus Rid, there's no problem. In Yehuda, they did Erisin. And they gave a ksuba to Shas Erisin. And they did Berkus Chasanin. So these Baal Har, okay, he's being Baal Har without a chuppah. He's not being over on any Yisrael Eraisa of, could be Baal Har Hashem Yisrael and finish. He's not over on any Yisrael and any realistic. So this is the second Nakuda, which is, again, obviously you say the second Nakuda, it's the Superstar from Erison, which is side to the tumble of the Sugya. That's not clear. It could be that you could be behind yourself right away. Why not? A person could obligate himself in anything he wants. So if there is, then you could say, what? If I give you... because he has no right to either. But he has certainly cannot have financial obligations. He could do it. He could say, if I give you a guess, I'll pay you 200, whatever. Right? He has the right to do that. Any person could do that. It'll probably need a special nusach. The truth is, the Taisus Rid Lashon was Mitzvah Bez. It's automatic. Without any nusach. Automatic thing. Taisus Rid will maintain that they used the nusach, which was acceptable. The truth is, our nusach may need slight variation, but probably would be perfectly good. It doesn't say that they got married. It just says that she agreed to marry her, and he's the chayav and himself in the city. Okay, now the main chiddush of the sugya we learned yesterday was Rav Gamliel Shita, that Bari plus Migu is enough to be Teveya, or the second teres in the Gemara was Bari plus Chazaka is enough to be Teveya. So it would appear, and it seems that that's the way the Yeshua learned, that our Gemara is a Klal for all of Shas, that any time you have Bari plus Migu, or Bari plus Chazaka, that's enough to be Maitzi Mamet. That's an adequate to be Maitzi Mamet. How does it go together, Bari plus Migu? Anybody think about the logic of it? Bari plus Migu, you put them together. The Pashat way to learn is that Bari is a certain amount of proof, and Migu is a certain amount of proof. And when you take them together, it's just enough of a proof. That's the Pashat way to learn. Right? You go for a pass, you have to bring a couple of types of ID. You say one idea is worth this many points, this idea is worth this many. So no one is good enough. So you bring two together, so then that's a good enough. Exactly the same thing is also, yeah? Exactly the same thing. You need a certain amount of raya. You need a certain amount of raya to be mighty mama. Bari is not enough. It's something, but not enough. If you take bari plus nigu, so bari is worth a few points. If nigu is worth a few points, that's enough. If you take bari plus chazaka, that's good enough. So Yeshua already makes from this a whole rule for Shabbat. He says, Mimela, I can learn from here. If I would have bari plus rai, would that be good enough? What's worth more points? Rai v'chazaka? Ruba v'chazaka? Ruba adif. So bari and chazaka is good, so Yeshua already makes that bari and rai will be good. So you can learn out another thing, that bari and rai is good. And then he says, what's stronger? Bari or Rai. So he maintains that Rai is stronger than Bari. So since Bari and Chazaka is good, so Rai and Chazaka will be good. And Rai and Nigel will be good. We have already a bunch of rules. So the Gemara says Bari and Chazaka, Bari and Nigel. We can answer that. Rai and Chazaka, Rai and Nigel, or Bari and Rai. Rai with any one of the three would be good. That's what Yeshua is saying. So you have your whole list of things that would work because of our Gemara. Because these things together, a combination of rayas, in a case where one of the rayas wouldn't be good enough, the combination of rayas is good. This is what the issue is. So Yeshua makes a big deal out of this. He talks about it in the Kuchisafra and in the Sefer and the Kuchisafra. He wants to make a call for Shas. Of course, if Yeshua could cause a Shas quickly and see if it fits. So he has one case where he thinks it's a problem. He asks, there's a case where a man goes into a store, I think we mentioned this case in the past, he buys a shar, he takes the shar home, he attaches it to his yoke, and it's a wild shar. He comes back and he says, it's a mekatos, the shar can't go with the yoke, it's a wild shar. Shar nakhanu. The wild shark. But the store owner says, okay, he says, I sold it to you for shechita. I sold it to you, I thought you wanted to shut the animal. I sold it to you for shechita. So he says, yeah, but I want the right shvarim was sold for what the Gemara calls radya, for work. Right shvarim la radya. So we say, we pass in ain help in the mom and achar right. And you lose. The buyer loses. The buyer loses, he has a rive on his side, but ain't often the mom and achar rive. Rive itself is not good enough. Ain't often the mom and achar rive, so he loses. That's what says the Gemara. That's the Yeshua, but now he has a bari and a rive. He can say bari. I'm positive I meant to buy it for flour. The seller is a shama. I don't know why you bought it. So now it's a bari plus a rai. The seller is a shama. So bari and rai should win. What? The rai by itself doesn't work. Because the rai is not a strong enough rai to be mighty mama. But just like in our Gemara, where the chazaka is not strong enough, bari plus chazaka works. So over there, rubim chazaka rubadif, rai is better than chazaka. So if bari plus chazak is good enough to be my timanin, then bari plus rai should be enough. Obviously we need two, each one by itself is not enough. But the two together, bari plus rai should be enough.
What?
You don't have to know for sure you bought it for shrita.
No,
in cases where you said you bought it for shrita, in case you bought it stomach. So, it should be bari plus rive. Rive is not strong enough. It's not strong enough raya to be like the mama. In halacha mama nachara. Pashtus. So the truth is, in the same shul he blabbed shred. But in the Kuntres Achrei, Islamic test, which is the back of the Pnei Yeshua, the new prints have it printed in the Pnei Yeshua itself, it comes up with a very simple parrot. That's the back case. But the answer is that the bari doesn't help the man there. Because the seller could say, I believe you, you bought it for work. I believe you. But nevertheless, since you didn't say, at the time you bought, you didn't say anything. You didn't specify. I have a right to give you any share I want. If you go into a store, and you make an order to a store, and you order a soda, you don't say what type of soda. So they can sell any soda that they want. There are some people that buy. If you order soda, they can send you any soda. If you order milk, they send you any milk that people buy. There's no assumption. If you say specifically, then you say specifically. So what the store owner is saying in that case, really, Bari and Rive normally is good enough. But in that case, the store owner will win anyway. Why is the store owner going to win? Because he could say, I believe you. You wanted a Maradia. That doesn't matter. You come to the store, you buy a shahr, I can give you any shahr I want. So therefore, the Pnei Yeshua remains with his whole shekel, that our Gemara is a combination of rayas, bari plus rai, bari plus nigu, rai plus bazaka. You take, you know what you do? You make a list of these six, of these four things, rai, bari, nigu, bazaka, and any combination works, basically. Except maybe the combination of nigu and bazaka, which you have to think about. But basically, any combination of the four, that's what Pnei Yeshua says. It works. What? We had the case of the shahr, because the store owner could say, I believe you 100%. You wanted it for work. But if you order something and I send you, so I send you. What do you want? I'm not obligated to sell one or the other. If you order a shahr, I'm allowed to sell any shahr. Right? That's right. It's just a din in Mecca from Africa. This is the way Pnei Yeshua learned to Sylvia. And it's certainly a legitimate way, even though I'll mention to you others who argue, this is all based on the first year in the Sugya, where the Pnei Yeshua learns Bari Hashem, Bari is a Birur, that the whole thing here works on Rayas and Birur. Pnei Yeshua learns the whole Sugya the way. This whole Sugya is about Rayas and Fish. The second Mahalach, which I, when we started the Sugya, I told you, Reb Shimon, Reb Chana, Reb Shach, they learned that our sugya, the sugya of Bari Bishema, is based on a different concept. The whole sugya is a sugya of Kayachatai. That a person has a right to go to bed and be Teveya. That's Bari Bishema. I have a right to come to bed and be Teveya, and you've got to answer me. The Kayach of Bari is the Kayach of going to bed. So the one who holds Bari Bishema, Bari Yadif, holds. The one who holds Bari Vishem Alav Bari Yadis, why doesn't he hold that this works? Bari Vishem, why doesn't he hold this works? Look at Shach. Because he holds that Bari itself, without any proof, is not really a Taina in Bez. If you walk into Bezdin and you tell them a story, somebody owes you money, you have zero proof, it's nothing. It's not called a tight end bed. You have to have at least something. You walk into bed, you've got to come with something. So Zotrav Shach, the reason Bari plus Migu, or Bari plus Chazaka works, is because of Kayach HaTaimen. Because Bari, I have a right to go to bed. Now I have to have something. Right? So I have Chazaka, or I have Migu. As long as I have some sort of Raya, I have a right to go to bed, and to make a Taina. And the other person has to answer. If the other person says Shema, that's not an answer. It doesn't work. So the way Rav Shach learns our sugya, it's not a rule for all other cases. It's a rule that's unique for Bari. You can't say, oh, if Bari and Chazaka works, Raiv and Chazaka works. Maybe not. Maybe Raiv and Chazaka don't work. Bari only works because of Kayach HaTaimen. Because of this concept that I have a right to come to Bezdin and to say a Taina. If I want to come to Bezdin, you must answer. If you say I don't know, that's not good enough. Just the bari has to come with something. He comes with a mingle, or he comes with a chazaka. So according to the way Rav Shach learned, this is a sugya unique to the rules of bari v'shema, to the rules of kayachatayna, to the concept that I have a right to go to Bezdin. It's a whole different sugya. It's not a sugya of right. It's a din of bari. It's a din of going to Bezdin. So bari plus mingle works, bari plus chazaka works. Some would be made that bari plus rive works. But it's only when there's a bar. This is the way Rav Shach learns. Rav Shach is in Yigris Moshe, Chayshe Mishpat Chaylik Alef Simen Chaf Dalet. You know, Rav Moshe did us a very big taira. So Shach, if you ever learned Aviyazri, you learn Rav Shach's Tikkul Taira. It takes you a long time to understand all his rayas back and forth. So Rav Shach wrote a letter to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe, in the beginning of his tshuva, he says, you wrote that. And he summarizes it in half a paragraph. It's very easy to read. Very easy to follow, what I just told you. You see Rav Shach's Mahalo. Rav Moshe summarizes it in half of the first paragraph. Then Rav Moshe argues. Rav Moshe has a long, has a long explanation. But Rav Shach's Mahalo is very clear from that summary. I think if you figure it out, they're both in their 20s when they wrote letters to each other. But anyway, this is Rav Shach's Mahalach, which I told you is Rav Shimon and Rav Ochanan, basically Rav Shishita's Mahalach and Al-Sugya in not the Peshul. Alright, so we finished the first Mishnah to the second Mishnah. I hope, at least all of you who are with us throughout, we have a basic concept of this nice small piece of Gemara and basic idea of what it's talking about. Let's start the second Mishnah, Mishnah Yud Gimel, and we'll come back to the Tumul over Nikos. Ki Maris Mukaseika, Voimer Lake, Eladrus Ishak, exactly the same as like. So Bura Rabbi Azai Ibn Nemeta. Bishoi Malayim Tiyama Chaim, Elazim Lev Jerusa, Shetam Rez Barel. Word for word. Same argument, just a new case. Here she's saying Mukaseika, she wants to be believed. Obviously, if this Mishnah is word for word the same sheet as the other Mishnah, so we're going to say the same shot. She's a Bari. He's a Shema. She's a Bari plus Nigel or a Bari plus Chazaka. Against the Shema, that's why she wins. We say exactly the same shot as we said in the previous Gemara. We have two pshatim in the Mishnah, Bari plus Nigel, Bari plus Chazaka. Okay. What is she saying when she says Mukaseit? She's saying I'm a Mukaseit when? Before Erisin? Or after Erisin? How would you understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah doesn't say if it's one way or the other. How would you understand the Mishnah? Huh? Both ways. Either way. Huh? Let's try each of the two ways and see if they make sense. Okay. Well, let's see each of the two ways if it makes sense. Let's say she says, Mukaseit Tachtecha. She says, as a Mukaseit after we got Erisin. Okay? Mukaseit Tachtecha. And he says, no. Maybe it's Drusus Ish when. What is he saying? He's saying before. Because it was after Erisin, then he's not to give 200. So he's saying Drusus Ish earlier. So the argument whether it was earlier or later. So now, two pshatim, Bari Amigo, Bari Chazaka. The pshat of Bari Chazaka is very good. She has a Chazaka that happened later. Right? The husband is saying, you were Mizana before we got married. Then we have to pay 100. She's saying, look at this, Tachtecha. The pshat of Bari Chazaka is good. Now, Bari Amigo. Does she have an eagle? She says, look at this, Tachtecha. Believe me, with an eagle of what? Eagle of what? Of what? What amigo she has? She's got an amigo. What else could she have said? She's timing on Mumukaseit afterwards. But she has no amigo. There is no amigo.
She's saying it happened halfway. And so theory it would be, if she's saying it happened halfway, would theory it would have been legal to talk about it? beforehand.
No, but she'd rather sign the tachta than beforehand. Because tachta she gets 200, beforehand she gets 100. What you're saying is the reverse case, which I'll get to in a minute. When she says beforehand, she doesn't go to tachta. Right, okay. So you follow, if you learn our Mishnah, is mukasek taktecha, chazaka makes a lot of sense, but the migul pshat makes no sense. Now, let's say you learn that she's saying mukasek before erison. She's saying, I was mukasek before erison, and tak only entitled to 100. If you learn like that, and he's saying, no, maybe you're mezana. Maybe you're mezana, but like, well, I think what else says. She's telling him mukasek before him. So everyone agrees it happened before him. They're just arguing mukasek was this. Now, let's try to pshat them again. The pshat of bari plus chazaka makes no sense. Why? Everyone's agreeing when it happened. Chazaka is it happened later. Then they're arguing that it happened before Eris and if Eris and chazaka makes sense. But if they're both agreeing it happened before Eris, so she says mukasek. And he says, Jerusalem ish, they're agreeing when it happened. So the cheskes hagruf has nothing to do. The chazaka that she was nibbala as late as possible has nothing to do with it. The pshat of migul, however, then it makes sense. Rashi, back before, where it says the ika migul, Rashi said, mukaseitz ani, iboy amra mukaseitz ani tachtecha. She said, I'm a mukaseitz na tachtecha, and I'm only getting 100. If I'm a liar, I could have said mukaseitz tachtecha, and I would have been tevei 200. So the pshat of migul makes sense. So basically, if we learn the Mishnah two ways, by each way, one of the Gemara's previous two Rishonim makes sense. You follow what I'm saying? If we learn the Mishnah's book is eight beforehand, and then she has a Migul, but she doesn't have Chazaka, so she wins because of Bari plus Migul. Or if we learn the Mishnah, then book is eight Tachtecha, and then she wins because of Bari plus Chazaka, but she doesn't have a Migul. What? That's the problem that I mentioned to you. Okay, this is how to learn the Mishnah from the Gemara. At least Rabbi Elazar Imer ben Mona b'Lei Klum. We're going to see that's why Rashi assumed that the Mishnah is talking when it's not tachtecha. She's saying Mona. It's not that tefillah. She's saying the sign. She's saying about tefillah. Apparently, you could learn the Mishnah both ways. From the Gemara, it's mukhruf that she's tiny. Mukasei, it's not that tefillah. That we'll see from the Gemara, because Rabbi Elazar says b'mana b'lei klum. She's today 100. She's today 100 means she was mukasei beforehand. So it appears from the Gemara that the second way that she's tiny. Mukasei, it's not that tefillah, which is the way Rashi learns. Which is that it works with Bari plus Migul. Now, the issue that becomes an issue now is the issue I started with yesterday. Now, yesterday I told you that this Migul, there's no place else in the whole Shas we have such a strange Migul. Now, I'm not a Bucky in Shas, so I couldn't say it on my own, but the Yeshua says it, that we don't find in all of Shas this type of Migul. What's unique about this Migul? What's unique is a normal Migul. What's the classic case of Migul? Okay, you should all remember that. The classic case of Migul is Perua Migul de Mizuyah. You say I owe you money, you bring me an IOU. And I say Perua, I paid you. Even though you have a star, how can I say Perua? I have a Migul, I could have said Mizuyah. If I could have said it's a false star. Then if you're Mekayim de Star, you could be Tevet. So every Migul works. That believe me with what I said, because had I said Taina B, I would have won. I would have been believed with Taina B. The Taina I didn't say. It's every Migul in Shas. Every Migul works that way. That believe me with Taina A, because if I'm a liar, I could have said a better Taina. So therefore, believe me with my present Taina. That Migul makes sense that way. Believe me with this, I could have said that, and I would have won with that. So believing that. In our Gemara, we have a very strange thing. She said, let's say in the first Mishnah, she said, Mishra Stani Nena, she said, believe me, if I'm a liar, I could have said Mukaseg. Now, if Taka true, a lady would rather say Mukaseg than say someone was Mishra Stani with me. I understand the logic that people would rather say Mukaseg. But she wouldn't win with Mukaseg. Because Mukaseg, what happens with Mukaseg? She could have said Mukaseg na tachtecha or amigo Mukaseg tachtecha. But if she said Mukaseg tachtecha, she's also not believed. What kind of amigo is going on here in our sugya? Amigo has to be believing with this. I could have said that with which I would win. So now you're going to say, believe me, Shastari Nanasi, I could have said Mukaseg before we got married. I believe me, Mukaseg, before I got married, if I'm a liar, I could have said Mukaseg after we got married. But if you would say Mukaseg after we got married, would you be believed? No, then you would have no amigo. Then you would have no amigo. So what's going on in our Gemara? What kind of amigo is this? It's not a normal amigo. The amigo has to be, I could have kind of that, but that, believe me, I could have kind of that, but it has to be something I'll be believed with. It's not a normal amigo. Truth is that Tysus points out it's not a normal amigo. Unfortunately, the Tysus on the bottom of the Amid. I mean, the Tysus is the top one on the Amid, but it goes in the Gemara at the bottom. But if you look at the top Tysus, Tysus asks from Taima, HaRev Yeshua, Maslai Migul, Rabbi Yeshua Stani Nenasti. Tysus says that when you pay them in bags, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't agree with the Migul. So Rabbi Yeshua argues with Gamliel. Yeshlaim at the Hasam Leihab the Migul Gamliel. It's talking not a good Migul. Just a better time, but not a real Migul. So in Rabbi Yeshua was saying, Rabbi Yeshua, all of the Shas holds a Migul, here's not a real Migul. Now it's not a real Migul, so what's Rav Gamliel doing? What can do Rav Gamliel? Rav Gamliel says it is a Migul. Why is it a good Migul? So this needs explanation. What kind of Migul are we dealing with here? And in order to explain this, we have to go to the Yisayid of Dinei Migul, which really Migul is the second paragraph, so this more than the first. But we have to go back to the Yisayid. Rabbi Chana, Chelek Bei, Simin Gimel, has a long piece on Migul, which deals with the Gemara and Sobis and a few places in the second paragraph. And in Ois Chav Dalid, he explains our Gemara. And here, let me just go back to understanding how normal Migul works, and then we'll get to our Migul. Okay, what's a normal Migul? Okay? A normal Migul. The classic case of Migul. Pro Migul de Mizu. Why do I win? You come to Bezel with an IOU. I said Perua. You have a Migul. I could have said it's a full staff. Why do I win? The simple way to learn, the way for a Bachani learning, it's proof. Migul is a proof. We always call a birra. Birra means a proof. It's a proof. I must be telling the truth, because if I want to lie, I could have said a different line. It's proof. The Bachani learns there are two dinim in Migul. The proof part is not just part of it. You know, one of the Bachani's kindness on the proof of Migul is that maybe the person didn't say the second time, they could say anything, maybe they didn't think of it. Maybe they just didn't think of the second time. Someone says, you owe me money? Maybe they didn't think of timing the same. So Bachana says that there's a second din in Migul, and especially if it's a crazy time, certainly. Then he says there's a second din in Migul. There's something called, Rav Chana calls Kayach HaTaina. Same word Kayach HaTaina I used earlier. But here you have to understand how it works. Kayach HaTaina means you understand that a muzik, if someone's a muzik, he always wins. it's easier for him to win. Let's say I'm a Muslim, I come into bed and I say, this is mine. Why do I win? Why do I win? Because Bezdin believes me? Huh? I walk into Bezdin, I'm holding this paper cut. I walk into Bezdin, I say, it's mine. And you prove to me that you bought it yesterday, you bring a receipt, and it's one of a kind, and you bought it, and I'm holding it, I say, I bought it. I'm a Moses. That means I win because I have a certain kaya. I have a certain power by virtue of the fact that I'm a Moses. You know, if I come into Bezdin and I say, this is mine, let me ask you a shayla. Let's say you have a poor person. He's a poor guy, he's a homeless fellow. He goes scrounging around, you know, for bottles in the garbage cans. He collects money in the shul in the morning. There's no money. He's on. We have documented he never had a job in his life. He walks into bed and he's holding a diamond. Of course, $1 million diamond. He says, it's mine. And a rich man comes in. He says, it's mine. He stole it from me. Who do we believe? And then now this poor man says, no, I bought it, you know, I found $1 million and I bought this diamond. Can I ask you, who do you believe? Who do you think is telling the truth?
Who
if you have to bet your life on it, who do you think is saying the truth?
Maybe he found it.
Who do you think is saying the truth? Do you think he found it, or do you think
it's not right? Not
I would be willing to bet that he's lying.
It's not right, I believe him.
But he's going to win in bed. He's going to win in bed. Why is he going to win in bed? That we call kayach hatayna. He has a kayach. You have a certain kayach. If you have it, you have a certain kayach for the other person to take it from you. He's got to meet certain criteria to be able to take it from you. This is the definition of kayach hatayna. Whenever kayach hatayna becomes confusing, you have to just go back to the aleph beis of Mufid. There are certain situations in Bezdin in which a person wins, not because we necessarily believe him, but because he wins, he's the Muslim, and there's just not enough proof to take away from him. That's called Kaya Hadam. The Bukhaman says that Nigu gives you the Kaya Hadam. Someone comes in bed, well, he says, you owe me money. And he brings a shtar. So before everybody starts arguing, who's stronger? The one with the shtar? Or the nifa. If the shtar is Mekoyim, you have Aiden that says good, and he's strong. But if he comes in Stalazai with a shtar that's not Mekoyim, he's weaker. Because the nifa could say, Mizuyas. He could say it's a false shtar. So he has a kayach hatayna. He has a presumption that he's going to win. So if he says perua with a migo of Mizuyas, he wins. Why does Nigel win? Because of this concept of Kayach HaTayna. Because of this idea that there's a Kayach HaTayna, a person who has the ability to win in Bezdin with other kindness, he's the Muslim. He's like a Muslim. And therefore, he wins because he has a Nigel, he could have said a different Taina, that gives him the power that whatever he says, we justify. He's like a Muslim. He's a Muslim, not necessarily because he's holding it, but because he's holding a taina which he could say. That's the migu all over Shas. A migu which has two things. It's a certain amount of bearer, a certain amount of raya, but it's a kaya hataina. A certain kaya. There's a stipler above Messiah Sin and Gimel who explains kaya hataina. It doesn't mean I didn't answer any questions yet. Just explaining me. The stipler above Messiah Sin and Gimel explains the concept of Kaya Hataina, and fundamental to understanding Nigel. One of the best rayas to this is a case of trade to trade. You have a situation when you have two Adam against two Adam. Two Adam say he owes money, two Adam say he doesn't owe money. And two Adam say he was Mazik him, two Adam say he wasn't Mazik. You have two against three. He wasn't in by trade to trade, Adam doesn't know what to do. So we have a rule. When you have two witnesses against two witnesses, if one side brings more riots, does that help them? Doesn't help. If you have two witnesses against two witnesses, and one person brings a third witness, doesn't help trade kameya. Who wins like 100? Let's say one of the witnesses would say, I have an eagle. Still wouldn't help. Because Two against two is the maximum proof against the maximum proof. If you're going to bring Rive or Chazakis, anything, it's not going to help once you have Trey Betray. However, if you have Trey Betray and the Baldover has a needle, the Baldover has a needle. For example, a very simple example, I'm holding this paper for you. And you say it's yours. Now, I could say, I don't know what you're talking about. No, win. I don't say that. I say, yesterday, I won this at the Chinese auction in this place. I won this yesterday in a certain place. I bring two items that I won. And you bring two items that you won. Two against two. If I have a legal that I could have said, I didn't win it yesterday, you won it yesterday, this is a different one. If I have a legal, if I trade the trade, the legal wins. If the Baldava has a legal, he wins. Now, if legal would only be a bidder, it wouldn't work. It's two against two. If you add bidder to it, it's not going to help. So to Bokhanan, you know why it works? Because legal is not a bidder. Not being Mavara anything. It just says, I have Kayakatayana. I could have won by just saying, I don't know what you're talking about. This is not the same one. It's a different table. I could have won by saying something else. So, Migu of a Baldava works by trade to trade. Dr. Bokhana, because it gives Kayakatayana to the person. This is the raya that there are these two demons in Migu. That there are these two demons. Now, Rabbi Chanan uses this to explain our Mishnah, and I guess I'll leave it to look it up. It's in Siman Gimel, Chav Dalet. It's important that you understand. I told you this many times over the year. It's important. Learning Sobit is important that you know whatever we learn, but it's very important that you know the basic besides of the things we're learning. These two mahalach and amigo. It's very important that you have a good grasp of it, and